Part 1. Today's Mega Challenges. Imagine this scenario. You're in a large ship that has hit something big and the boat is in trouble. It's filling with a significant amount of water which needs to be bailed. The captain and the ship's engineer think they can keep the vessel afloat, but only with some serious effort by everyone on board. Wouldn't all the passengers pivot immediately from whatever they were doing to start bailing water? But perhaps it would have been better to pivot earlier and change the focus of this boat, or organization, or at least its leaders, toward spotting obstacles and avoiding the problem entirely. Or go back further. We could have designed the ship with a double hull or with much better radar. Or maybe we would want to rethink the entire trip and fly, or conduct a teleconference instead. In the mid-1980s, Intel faced a similar profound moment of decision when its business looked like it would be taking on water soon. The early warning signs of a deep market shift were there. Intel was being outcompeted by Japanese firms and its profits were plummeting. The question the leaders faced was this: should Intel keep competing in the memory business it had been so successful with, or should it move into semiconductors? CEO Andy Grove and founder Gordon Moore heard the wake-up call, asked themselves what a new CEO coming into the company would do, and realized they needed to pivot. Recognizing that it was a life-or-death situation for the company, they made a brutal shift in their business model. There were layoffs and early financial losses, but Intel began a remarkable run in the microprocessor business by first acknowledging some hard truths. Like Intel in the 1980s, we need to face some tough realities today about the global human experiment. We have enough information now to hear the wake-up call and address these truths. A big pivot is necessary, and it will make us healthier and more profitable. So, let's start by listening to the three loudest wake-up calls. Chapter 1. Hotter and Cleaner. Doing business in a more extreme, unstable world. When Hurricane Sandy raged toward the eastern seaboard of the United States, the eye of the storm bore down on New Jersey. But with its record 900-mile breadth, Sandy wreaked havoc from West Virginia to Maine. The oceans rose up to cover downtown New York City and rendered major chunks of the Jersey shore uninhabitable. As the scope of the devastation became clearer, another reality came into sharper focus. Along with cars and trees and homes, the storm swept away some of the continuing public resistance to the facts of climate change. Business Week blared on its cover, "It's global warming, stupid." Time magazine journalist Michael Grunwald, noting that climate change had long been treated like a niche, secondary issue that only environmentalists would care about, cleanly summed up the absurdity. "Sandy was a blunt reminder that the technical term for people affected by climate change is people. It's an environmental issue, a security issue, and yes, an economic issue." Within a week of the storm, New York City Mayor Bloomberg, Governor Cuomo, and many other leaders had decided that the connection between climate change and extreme weather was getting clearer. "We must change how we operate," they all warned, "to prepare for a climate change-riddled present that we had all hoped was still years away." Global warming, global weirding, climate change, climate disruption, climate crisis, whatever we call it, it amounts to the same thing. The greenhouse gases, GHG, that have kept the planet warm enough for us to evolve and develop our society are now building up dangerously high. This warming is overwhelmingly due to humanity's burning of fossil fuels and its use of the atmosphere as a carbon dumping ground. Skeptics